CliffCentral.com.
Yes, good morning, everybody. How's the day looking? Huh? How's your day feeling so far? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling happy? Are you excited? Are you in a mood to take on Tuesday? How's it going? Tell us. You can tell us by picking up your telephone and phoning us on 0861-555-189. Tell us what you're doing. So there's lots to get into today. First of all, let me introduce you to the crew for this morning to look after your needs. We have Sia Sangweni.
Hello.
We have Ben Karpinski.
That is great.
Hi.
And we have Leanne Moll.
Hola.
Oh. All right. So there are a few things I wanted to get straight into this morning. You mind if I get going straight away?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, ready to go.
I was disturbed. I was listening last night. Stats SA released their population figures for South Africa. Apparently, the birth rate's up by 2%. Now, I don't know how this is possible. Like,
well, Gareth, you see two people get together, a male and a female.
And what happened?
And then
what happened?
Then explosions and glitter
and then what happens?
And then the population rises by 2%.
Sure. Mm. Now the reason I ask this is because it's not like we're getting richer as a society. It's not as if there's huge economic growth and there's prosperity and you bring children into the world, you have to have resources to look after them. I heard a statistic not so long ago, and I'm always a little bit nervous about these things because they change. Someone said to me that if you want to raise a child, and I'm not saying this has to be extravagant, you just want to get a child to 18 years old with a reasonably good education, food, clothes, textbooks, nothing special. You're not buying them fancy clothes or you're buying them great shoes. This is basically like middle of the road stuff. And I'm saying for a middle class South African, you want to send them to a school near the house, that kind of thing. You will need in excess of 2 million rand.
It's impossible.
It's impossible. It's impossible. Jeez. I mean, most people don't have, if they put all of their shit together, 2 million rand. So you want to have a child, you've got to think about that. That's 2 million rand. I mean, over the course of, 18 years. You know, they're not 2 million rand a year.
You could basically buy your dream car.
You could. You could.
The same payment period, essentially.
So anybody who wants to, live in a nice house, a 2 million rand house is not a bad house. It's a very nice house.
Got what you need, yeah.
Sure. If you want to buy a fancy car, any car, a dream car, 2 million rand that's more than if I put mine and Sia and Leanne and Ben's vehicles together and sold them, right?
Oh, yeah. It'd be fuck ugly to start with. Just saying. Multiply.
So 2 million rand, I mean, that is a shit ton of money. Most people in their lives don't make 2 million rand in after costs. Mm. You know what I mean? So you are putting yourself out there every time you have a child. And I know that there are people who think, oh, well, the child will be there to provide for me when I'm old. But what a thing to do. What a horrible reason to make a person so that they can be your minder when you're old.
But you know what also does that, Gareth?
What?
Unit trusts, good investments, and then an actual caregiver at the end with the money that you spent in that.
Unit trusts and a caregiver. Yeah,
yeah, because
right.
Then it's an actual purpose that you've now provided yourself for.
And you haven't basically bred a creature into existence to look after you when you're old, which it just seems to me is such a disrespectful thing to do.
Well, not even disrespectful. If you look at it and you minus the four and you carry the one, it's really worth it when you're spending 2 million rands.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how my parents, they had three of us.
Well,
you know,
I'm the fourth.
Yeah, you're the fourth.
But then again, back in those days, toilet paper cost 10 cents.
And you were raised mostly in the wild anyway.
I did my own thing. Petrol was like 33 cents for a gallon.
Yes. They basically gave you petrol at dinner.
I think my parents had a decent sort of middle class kind of house in a decent area. I'm pretty sure they spent 25,000 rand to buy that house back in the day.
Quite probably. But things are much more expensive now. And Everybody wants more than middle. So let's forget about the 2 million rand, because your kids are not going to say, oh yeah, sure, I'll get that pair of Barter Tuffies and that's fine. I'll wear those to everything.
Because I was,
even when my feet are too big.
I was reading an article that was speaking about South African parents who wish to send their kids overseas to study, for example, and that is just anxiety-inducing.
Forget about it.
If you'd like to, as a South African parent, send your child to study in the UK, for example, in 2019, you will need around 2.5 million rand.
Or you'll need your
for
uncle's
the year
kidney.
Alone. Yeah.
So that's over and above the 2 million we've already said, right? Is that right?
Yeah. And then they say,
oh my God.
They just cite, if you have a young child, I don't know what the definition of a young child is. And
yeah, because you don't have old children.
Well, I mean, like, is it five? Is it
come out old?
Is it 10? That's what I'm saying.
Oh, shit, Deirdre, it's come out old.
Deirdre, it's at least 27.
But by the time
you're drinking,
by the time your young child goes off to university overseas, you'll be spending upwards of 9 million rand.
Oh, my God.
Rands.
And oh my God.
So this company says you should start saving around 17,000 rands a month.
No.
Right now.
Who has that? Who has that?
No. I refuse.
Who has
that's
that?
Too funny.
So here's the really shocking statistic, because that's bad enough, because that means that it's increased by 2%. That means there are X number more people than there are today there will be tomorrow, basically. Mm-hmm. You know? The really shocking statistic, and I mean, teen pregnancy is very high in South Africa, which again means that these young women are not ever going to have lives of their choosing, because a child becomes the priority. When you have a kid, you have to provide for that kid. So you and your dreams and hopes and ambitions get on the back burner.
And it's so seldom you've achieved your dreams and ambitions by the time you have a child.
Sure.
So seldom.
I mean, if you're a teen who gets pregnant, you can't even finish school sometimes. Yeah. So what kind of prospects will you have then? But here's the really shocking statistic. 61.7% of all the children born in South Africa don't have a registered... sneeze. No, 61.7% of all the children born in South Africa do not have a registered father.
Yeah.
61.7%.
Does that mean that the father didn't sign the birth certificate?
No, there is no father written in. It's okay. The single mothers from the moment of that child's birth. More than half, by a long way more than half, almost two-thirds.
Jeez.
Of all the children born.
We've got a bunch of responsible men around, don't we?
Right.
Wow.
So, I mean, I know this is something we talk about all the time, because I do believe this is a much bigger issue than racism, than unemployment.
Jeez.
It's really, this is fundamental to any child's chances of making it in life. And we wonder how it is possible that there are so many angry, upset, disenchanted, disconnected, broken people out there. And of course there are very good mothers who are able to raise kids on their own. Of course there are women who sacrifice everything because they have to raise their kids. But there is no way, and they've done endless studies around this, there is no way that a child raised by a single mother can ever do as good a job, no matter how much backbreaking effort she puts in, as a mother and a father lovingly raising a child together. There's no way. And there are some things a mother cannot do because she is not a male. And for male children, role models are important. Things like security, things like masculinity, things like provision, things like strength, all of that kind of thing can be provided by the mother, of course, but are much, much more well provided for if the mother can also do the things that she could focus on being the best at, and there's a father to do those things. So I know this is an unpopular point of view, because a lot of people in South Africa clearly are raised by their moms, and they go, well, you know, I'm not at a disadvantage, but you are. And the fact that there are 61.7% of the births recorded last year, in a calendar year, almost two-thirds of the babies born did not have a father, present or registered. That's terrifying. You know, and we've got this series called Man to Man, which has just begun, and we'll actually be talking to Craig Wilkinson soon and Khalil Osiris, who did the show with him. The two of them have put this podcast together because we have a huge number of problems in South Africa, but I would say this is number one. This is why we have such emotionally unstable people in South Africa, because they've just never been given a father's love or support or even interest. Most of these people do not even know who their fathers are. They wouldn't know if their dad walked past them in a shop.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that? Because you take it for granted if you grow up with a dad, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, you don't realize how much it's part of the human nature to know where you've come from. Even if that father's not going to play an important part in your life, you still have this yearning to know where you came from.
And I look around and I see so many people who are upset by a number of things that are going on around them. Maybe they don't have enough money. Maybe they don't have a job. Maybe they have, you know, an unhappy home environment or whatever it is. But I can guarantee you at the source of so many of our problems in South Africa is this single factor. And this is 2017's number, by the way. This is not as a result of, you know, what happened 40 years ago during apartheid. You can certainly say there are legacy elements to this, but to blame that would be very facetious, because it means that you're absolutely taking away the responsibility of people here and now. You're not acknowledging that those people here and now have agency to change that.
Yeah, I mean, even if you had to align a certain percentage to legacy, sure, it would still be high.
Very high. And this is something we don't ever talk about in South Africa. We try to talk about it here because we like to acknowledge the problems in society. We like to look at where governments screw up. We like to look at where big business screws up. You know, these are things that happen.
Mm.
And we blame government for a lot, but this is not government's fault. These are dads who just disappear. Or moms who take their kids away from their dads because they don't trust or like them. I don't know what it is. But in that respect, we have a major social problem. I don't think anywhere in the world the stats are as bad as this by a long way.
It is a social problem, and it's also sad when it becomes the cultural norm. I know so many people just in my personal circles who, I'm not trying to sound like a dinosaur from
you
millennia ago.
See, you only turned into a young child about 3 weeks ago.
But no one now just bats an eyelid when a couple breaks up or the father isn't there anymore. No one wants to fight for a relationship or family unit to stay. It's just,
I hate to be nasty here, but I do think that people who decide to not have children deserve some credit. Like they need a tax break or something because they're not adding to the burden. If you are responsible enough as a man or a woman to say, look, I'm not going to have a kid, first of all, because they're going to cost me 2 million rand just to put them through the basics. But I'm not going to do it because I think that there are enough people around. I'm going to sacrifice my own ego for a second and my need to have descendants because the earth is full. I think that person deserves a tax break. I'm not even being funny or sarcastic about this. I think really, if you don't have kids, you should get a rebate.
I'll take that.
Sure, should, absolutely.
Yeah, it's rough.
Gareth, I work with a Muslim lady that is younger than me, who I shocked that I'm single. And she says, I can't believe you don't have kids. I just turned 45 and she reckons that it's not too late to have a child to look after me. What's up with that?
It's like, have a child to look after me.
That's so selfish.
Oh, that's a horrible thing to do, hey? Check the latest political news coming out of Nelson Mandela Bay, PE. People are pissed off. It's ridiculous. Why can't the ANC and EFF just accept that they aren't number one and chill? Leave PE alone in the capable hands of Athol Christ, says Kelly. Athol Christ? Jeez. Was he in charge of PE? Athol Christ? Sure. I didn't know. I thought it was Athol Trollope, but okay.
Athol Trollope died and he came back.
Wow.
40 days later and...
Yeah, I'll get into the politics later, and by Thursday we, of course, spend a lot of time on news, but we'll...
But Kelly, short answer, no. Those dickbags will never accept defeat or anything of modal compassing.
Look how long it took the ANC to accept that they weren't in charge in the Western Cape. It took them 2-3 years of throwing feces at Helen Ziller's office, like blocking highways. They're just... I mean, dealing with children, and I can't help thinking that a lot of those people don't have fathers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm dead serious about this. This is a big problem. We need to examine why it is that when really minor, unimportant things, like a Greek racist on a beach, not even in this country, says something about K-words, which is outrageous and stupid, why we don't just shrug it off and move on, because... it doesn't actually have an effect on the world. It doesn't change anything. There are much more dangerous things happening to you, like petrol price increases and, you know, unroadworthy taxis and disease and a lack of economic growth. These are real things that affect you and I, that make our lives much more difficult. But we're going to get supremely upset by this racist on a Greek beach.
Whose business is now closed down.
Well... you know,
because people got round a subject. Cyril said, give me 14 days to sort the petrol price. That was like 33 days ago.
Nothing's happened. But this is the point, right? We always go for the low-hanging fruit. So, okay, here's this one stupid dude.
Very low-hanging fruit.
Really stupid, backward, asshole dude. And we all are so absorbed by him. I mean, I saw Somizi like calling for this guy to be like put in orange overalls. For saying a word... I understand that word has got power, but my God, you're giving it so much power if you want to put that person in jail for it. We discussed this ad infinitum here. I think it is, it's childish. It's a childish reaction. And again, maybe if more people had balanced family lives where they had a father who could show them what strength is, they wouldn't react so horribly to this kind of stupidity, because it's stupid. I mean, this guy should be written off as a person of substance.
He should be totally ignored, really.
But he never was a person of substance, from what I understand. He was like working for the family business, which to me is always, you know, a bit of a lame, kind of can't do it on his own thing, so let's give him a job in the family business. I don't know. Don't know first thing about this guy. And I was as when I watched the clip and I saw it, everybody saw it, right? I thought, what a douchebag. First of all, how horrible of you to have those views in 2018 and think that it's okay to think that way. But second of all, how stupid of you to record yourself doing it and think that that's not going to get you into trouble. So he deserves all the things that have happened to him personally. Of course, his family don't deserve any of this. They haven't done anything wrong. But it's not about them. It's about how we react. And if you're one of those people who got so upset and incensed that this drove you crazy, That it put a stop on your day and you were focused on it. You have to think about why that is, because it shouldn't be happening to, you know, someone who's got purpose in life. You should move right past this guy. And similarly, I think we've got to start addressing the real issues in South Africa, and they have to do with that family and the role of men in society. We look at how sick so many men in South Africa are when it comes to their relationships with women. Forget about their relationships with kids. Look at how every year, Women's Month is still going for another day or two. And we talk and talk and talk and talk about it. Men don't change their behavior.
Well, it's interesting because we were having a similar conversation here at the office a couple of days ago around what sparks certain reactions in the country and why certain things don't. Because we were looking at how in a matter of hours with this whole Adam saga, we were able to get his name and his address and where he lives and where he works and details.
Right.
And why the country doesn't rally up and do that when it comes to corrupt people in public office.
I mean, it took us like 8 years to figure out the Guptas were stealing from us.
That's it. And why doesn't that happen when it comes to race or rapists, for example?
Yeah.
You know, we have.
Yeah. That's a very good question.
Massive abuse problems. And look, it was just six people around our desks here. We aren't solving the entire world situation. But we really were thinking along the lines of, it's such a not necessarily an us and them thing, but it's what affects you on a personal level.
Mm-hmm.
So you use the term real issues, but to someone, Adam might be a real issue to them. You know, the petrol price going up. Yes, it's going up, but it's such a far removed thing. What power do I feel like I have to change the rate, the economy
again,
rate?
So what do you do? You go for the lowest hanging fruit. You go for some nobody.
That's it.
Because it makes you feel better and it makes you feel like somehow morally superior. Huh.
But to someone, that's a real thing to them.
If he has been espousing these racist views his whole life, you're already morally superior to him. So you don't have to do anything.
But see, just to that point, okay, so the low hanging fruit, you go after it. Now, this guy's company's done. You say it doesn't affect you, a real issue, okay? So his company not being in business, how does that affect or not affect you?
It really is just all on an emotional level.
Yeah, exactly, but it doesn't.
What are you talking about? I'm not going to get the best beef at Tash's this week.
But that is why people aren't satisfied, if we carry on with this analogy. They aren't just satisfied that, you know, his name and his identity has been revealed. That's why they want to take him down and they want to make him suffer. That's not a rational decision. It's all emotional. And we have to just...
And why are people so emotional?
Because humans don't.
Why don't people have the ability to control their emotions? Because that's how you get ahead. You don't get ahead by being an emotional teenager who tantrums. No one takes that person seriously in a boardroom. How do you think you're going to become the boss of your own life, let alone the boss of other people, if you cannot control your emotions? I've seen four-year-olds. I've got a nephew. He has little temper tantrums when he can't get what he wants, or when he's upset, or when his dad tells him what to do. Or when you call him names or you tease him. He behaves like he tantrums, right? He's a child. If you're an adult who tantrums, no one's going to take you seriously. And it doesn't matter what's happened to you, you learn how to control yourself or else you just don't get ahead. Life becomes infinitely harder for you if you react emotionally to everything. There is no room on earth for people who have tantrums in their adult years. They just, they are not going to be taken seriously. You will be fired. You will be sent away. You will be taken less seriously. People will avoid doing business with you. And the world will be a hard, nasty, tough place, and you will tantrum more and more in the hopes of getting attention, and it will get you further and further from your goals.
But yet in politics, it gets you the opposite.
Yeah, but that's why losers go into politics.
But this is the whole thing, is that the losers realize that in politics you get ahead by being a child, and they all funnel into it.
Yeah, but we got to stop worrying about politicians, because I've absolutely cut them out of my life in the last while, and my life's better.
Yeah, we need to cut them out of society, though. That's the step.
Well,
yeah, but it's kind of like leaving Twitter. You're going to go back eventually.
I don't know, huh?
You can't help it.
I took Twitter off my phone, and I'm happy. Like, life is much better. Mm. Oh, by the way, let's get into the five things you need to know this morning. We can go down this road forever. First of all, you mentioned politicians. Well, Mugabe and his wife are apparently ill.
From the same thing?
Yeah. The 94-year-old revealed this in a surprise congratulatory message to the new president, Emmerson Mnangagwa, at his inauguration ceremony on Sunday. Mugabe apologized that he and his wife couldn't be there. A letter was read out. The former president said his wife is unwell and in Singapore. He said he also wasn't well, which is why he sent his daughter and her husband to stand in for them.
Sorry, is Grace not in a government hospital?
Of course not. Politicians are in government hospitals. Mugabe gave no details on what he and his wife were suffering from, but his congratulatory note took many by surprise. Because last month, remember, he said he wouldn't even vote for Mnangagwa. All those he said had tormented him. So, who knows if that letter was even real? You can never believe anything in Zimbabwe anymore. The truth is completely made up.
Fake news.
Ex-Steinhoff CEO, CFO, sorry, Ben Lachranzi is to appear in Parliament on Wednesday. He has another rotten apple. Parliament spokesperson Moloto Motapo confirmed earlier on Monday that the lawyers acting for Marcus Huerta and Lachranzi had confirmed receipt of their subpoenas. So they've got to appear in front of Parliament. And they will do this on Wednesday, tomorrow. Parliament's Standing Committee on Finance wants to question both Lachranzi and the former CEO Marcus Huerta about possible gaps in the country's regulatory framework, which may have caused or helped give rise to what may be the biggest corporate scandal in the country's history. Now, listen to that carefully. That doesn't mean they stole money. They may have, but it doesn't mean that Parliament is interested in whether they stole money or not. Parliament is interested in them giving evidence so they can find if there were regulatory gaps that they need to fill. So that's very different to someone stealing from public coffers, because you often get people making this, you know, equal big businesses as bad as government equation, which is obviously not true. Because if you rip off your own shareholders, you're not ripping off the country at large. Shareholders can take their money out any time they want. Of course, in this case with Steinhoff, they say they were keeping two sets of books, basically.
You know, like it's a lot of extra work.
It's a huge amount of work, but it didn't work.
You don't say.
Just doing my taxes is one big thing.
And I do want to hear whether these guys are at least sorry for having basically taken the JSE down a couple of pegs and having ruined some people's life savings. I know people who've lost a lot of money. Anyway, we'll get into that, I'm sure, on Wednesday. Union representatives at the Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital strike say that they've been waiting on the Gauteng Health Department for a meeting that will determine the way forward for Tuesday. They went on a strike on Monday morning calling for the release of an investigative report into allegations of fraud and corruption at this facility and the removal of the acting CEO.
Again, who's got time for fraud and corruption in a hospital that's so busy that there's a six-month waiting period for urgent surgery?
This is our biggest hospital. And you would think that, you know, the emergencies and basic triage would make you prioritize saving lives over corruption.
Yeah.
But some people are so interested in corruption, they prioritize it over life.
Yes, corruption is life for many.
This is interesting. Apparently, the bar exam for candidate attorneys leaked. The Law Society of South Africa has requested the councils of the statutory law societies confirm and inform members and candidate attorneys they will have to rewrite four examinations in October. Oh, can you imagine you've studied? And this is a tough exam, huh?
It's like dreaming you're back at school and you're doing the exam again. This time it's not a dream.
The Law Society of South Africa says in the wake of the leaks, the decision to rewrite is aimed at protecting the integrity and reputation of the profession. Investigations to determine the source of the breach are underway. National convener Ashwin Trikamji said, "We are serious about bringing the people who were involved to book, particularly some attorneys we don't know. We are checking out the information on candidate attorneys themselves who are circulating the papers. We will take action against those once we have the evidence available." Good. Someone's got to be held responsible.
Another corruption story.
Right. And then Pick It Up has suspended services to parts of Johannesburg because of protests. I hate to be... I'm sorry to depress you on a Tuesday morning, but this is what's going on around
us. I always get confused what Pick It Up picks up.
Yeah, because I see so much litter around it. I know that they pick anything up. Right? I mean, I those guys who push those trolleys...
Yeah, the waste entrepreneurs.
They almost do a better job than Pick It Up. I know Pick It Up come and get the big rubbish bins and empty them into the trucks and then drive them away.
Real stinky dustbin juice that can't be recycled.
No, but those Pick It Up guys don't seem to work as hard as the trolley dudes. They say they'll have to suspend services in parts of Johannesburg. It's understood some residents from the Dube and Diepkloof hostels are demanding they be employed by Pick It Up, despite not meeting the criteria during the verification process currently underway. So they want a job, but they're not qualified for the job. Now, you have to be pretty goddamned useless if you're not going to qualify as a rubbish collector.
I don't know so much.
What are the qualifications?
Well, just think about the truck driver, for instance. It's always amazed me how everyone knows which road to take, which side of the road... Two roads will be serviced by two different trucks, even though they're parallel to each other.
No, it's true.
I don't know. It's quite confusing to me.
Oh, so you're saying there's a system and a process they have to learn. Well, according to Muzim Kwanazi, he said, those are not Pick It Up employees. They are residents from the local hostels who are demanding that they be insourced into our services. You can't ask. You can't force people to hire you as staff. They're disrupting Pick It Up operations. Our operators are threatened and their lives are in danger. So you know what's going to happen in Zondi and Diepkloof is people just not going to have their rubbish collected because these guys demand to be employed. What kind of position is that? I demand to be employed.
but they weren't to start with.
Who lied to you when you were little and said that you're definitely going to get a job with Pick It Up? Who told you that when you were a kid?
No one.
Yeah, well,
the same moms who sent their kids to idols and said you have a good voice.
Probably.
They're to blame.
All right. Well, that's all we got time for in the five things you need to know this morning. By the way, I watched the trailer for The Happy Time Murders. It's a crime comedy film featuring Melissa McCarthy, Maya Rudolph, Elizabeth Banks, Joel McHale, and when the puppet cast of an 80s children TV show begin to be murdered one by one, a disgraced LAPD detective turned private eye puppet takes on the case. It's amazing. This is the funniest trailer I've seen in a long time.
Sounds fantastic.
The puppets get murdered. People blow them away with guns. They're like, oh my God! There's just fluff.
It is so funny.
And Melissa McCarthy is hilarious.
When isn't she?
Yeah. So it's called The Happy Time Murders, and it releases in South Africa on the 31st of August. They say it's all street, no sesame. It's a whodunit movie. And you can get into that with the creators of The Muppets who put this together. Isn't that brilliant?
Absolutely.
And what was the... do you remember any of The Muppets besides Kermit, Miss Piggy, Animal?
Well, from Sesame Street, there was Big Bird. There was the green guy who lived in a trash bin. What was his name? The Grunge or Grounge?
Grinch. I've never childhood.
No, and then there was, who were the two Muppets?
Ben only saw TV when he turned 23.
I saw The Lion King when I was 21.
Who were the gay Muppets?
The gay Muppets.
Gay Muppets?
Speckles and Freckles.
No, they used to like live in the same room for years, and then finally a few years ago.
They came out.
Yes. Bert and Ernie.
Oh, yes.
Bert and Ernie?
Yes, they used to like sleep together the same. Well, they had different beds. And
Noddy and Big Ears used to sleep together.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
They were quails? Were they quails? Were they quails?
I think they were quails.
I wasn't sure they were quails.
And the Cookie Monster and the whatnot. All of these.
Everybody, Snuffy, Big Bird, come see what Elmo did.
What have you done, Elmo?
Well, Elmo wrote his own song.
Really? Huh. What's it called?
Elmo's Song.
Oh, wow.
Clever title.
Yeah, I wish I'd thought of that.
Do Snuffy and Big Bird want to hear it?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Wow, this is brilliant.
This is the song, la 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 la, Elmo's Song. La 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 la. La 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 la, Elmo's Song.
I like it.
All right.
La la la, la la la, Elmo's Song.
Yes, all right. Let's not get too excited. So, Bitcoin's trading at $6,903, and Ethereum is at $284. Let's see what Ben has for us in the sport. Go ahead, Ben.
Jose Mourinho is having a little bitch fit, some early shocks in the US Open, and the Rugby Championship is call it what it is. It's a non-event nowadays.
What have you got first? What do you want to start with?
Spurs went out into the field last night, dropped Trow, and just gave Jose a big slap on the forehead. That's its early season thrashing. 3-0. 3-0 Tottenham beating Manchester.
Sure.
So what does Jose Mourinho do? He doesn't accept it like a man. He doesn't basically go through any of the sort of usual things. He gets grilled a bit. His team just lost 3-0 at home.
Yes.
So he starts rambling on. I'm not going to give this story too much time. He starts rambling on how he's had 3 Premier League titles. He demands respect, respect, respect. Jose, I don't know. I mean, you seem to have been around the block more than I have. But when anyone asks to be respected, they've lost all respect. And with every single press conference you have nowadays like this, you are about as special as Pick It Up. That's about it, really. Jose's always going on about, Arsene Wenger was a specialist in failure. Well, Jose, Wenger's got 3 Premier League titles too. He did it with less money than you've ever had, with far less players than you've ever had, and you've had all the opportunities in the world, and of course you were special to start with. So, if you want respect, blow it out your ass, man. Seriously, just get your team in order. Stop making excuses, because there's always excuses. And all this dirty laundry about how crap Man United are, deal with it. I don't see Arsenal making these kind of bitches. Okay, Arsenal fan TV does, but not in the press conference like this. So yeah, Harry Kane, he scored, and Lucas Moura scored too, but it's at Old Trafford. This is a proper thrashing. Proper thrashing.
How embarrassing.
The US Open's on, and I know you don't care too much about it, but Dimitrov's already out. And Simona Halep, first seed, also out.
Why do you say we don't care about it?
Well, Australian Open. It's beginning of the year, you're excited to watch a bit of sports. You give a bit of a toss about
French
it.
Open, you're like, French Open. It's on clay.
Yeah, it's sexy, it's French, yeah, time zone's pretty good. Wimbledon's Wimbledon. You'll watch that. I mean, that's
king.
Great.
King of all tournaments.
By the time the US Open comes around, it's like,
meh.
It's like late in the year, got to worry about tax. Yeah, I got stuff to do. Premier League started again. No one cares about the US Open. Like, where is it even played? Flushing Meadows? Who knows, Gareth? This is all a mystery to me.
All right.
I'll tell you who wins. How about that? But Rugby Championship. Now, as you scroll across the various sites, people are saying, well, it's New Zealand's to win. No, if everyone could please just stop with the bullshit now. As I say to Anthea every single year in this show, you get a 15% return investment by putting money on New Zealand to win. Because that's what they do. They win. Okay? Yes. Rugby Championship. They've played 33 matches. They've won 30. They've drawn 1. And they've lost 2. They have a points difference in the Rugby Championship of plus 596.
You can't catch them plus at all. Forget about it.
And 96. Gareth, you know what the best, the second most successful team's points difference is in the contest, in this tournament? Since 2012 when it started.
No.
The Aussies have won one title. Their points difference in the same amount of time is minus 93. So people are going on about the fact that, oh, you know, New Zealand have got 2 wins. This is it. They're probably going to take it from here. Yes, they will. Because you know what another thing is? They play against, wait for it, the 5th best team in the world, the 7th best team in the world, and the 9th best team in the world. So you've got the best team in the world already at an advantage. They've already won their first 2 games. They've now got to wait. They've already beaten the 5th best team in the world. They've now got to wait for the might of the 7th and the 9th best team in the world to maybe have a result here. What they're going to do is they're going to play. They're going to test depth. That's all they're going to do is they're just going to test depth for the World Cup next year, which they're already kind of bored because they know they're going to win it anyway.
Right.
Rugby is. This isn't healthy. This isn't good. Not even Tiger Woods at his best. Not even Michael Schumacher at his absolute best. Was it this monotonous how successful they were? So how do we make these guys less competitive? It sounds very EFF, I know, but...
I was going to say it sounds a bit Donald Trump. Make them great again.
The rest of the world, even if they're not really catching up, okay? So look at the Six Nations. Good on them. Look at the world rankings right now. 2nd, Ireland. 3rd, Wales. 4th, England. So they're actually doing all right in the greater scheme of things. But what does that mean for the Rugby Championship? Well, you've got Australia, South Africa, and Argentina. They're going nowhere. Absolutely going nowhere. It is such a disastrous little state of affairs we're in here. And I got to say, I'm more excited about watching Six Nations nowadays. I like to watch the box because Twitter's funny during box time. No doubt about it. Okay. Funniest time on Twitter, people having a bitch about the Springboks. I love it. I get involved too. But this is just a joke. It's an absolute joke. This is the only way we can get out of this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Call me defeatist. Call me whatever you want. We have to leave Sanzar. South Africa has to leave Sanzar, has to join the Northern Hemisphere. That'll take money away from New Zealand. And then these smug gits, like one New Zealand reporter, granted he's a dickbag nobody likes, but the headline is, could we please have the World Cup already? Or something to that effect. Because they already know they've won it. How is your sport going to thrive? Imagine France in football already saying, ha, we've already won the World Cup in Qatar. Like, that's a dick thing to say. But if it's true, would you be excited about that World Cup? I wouldn't be. How excited are you about Rugby World Cup next year? Not really. Because New Zealand are going to win it. So South Africa has to withdraw from Sanzar. They have to go play in the Northern Hemisphere. Money will then flow out of New Zealand rugby. And suddenly these guys will have to go play overseas. They'll have to go and do all kinds of other things. And then suddenly they won't have such a great team. They won't have such a great continuity. And all these other things that make them absolutely unbeatable. Unbeatable. Steve Hansen, current coach. He's coached 87 tests. His win percentage is 89.7%. He's lost all of 6 matches in 87 tests. 87 tests. Rusty Erasmus. Like, thunderbolts were coming out of this guy's arsehole a couple of months ago.
Oh.
He's already lost 2 tests. He's been in charge for how long? Like, 2 days. 89.7% win percentage. And this guy hasn't even smiled yet. got it. I'm sorry, but New Zealand has got a monopoly in rugby. It's making it unwatchable, and less people give a toss about it. So if you think rugby championship is still a thing, other than just a drink with your mates over, really catch a wake up. First team in the world is playing against the fifth team, the seventh team, and the ninth team. It's not a tournament to me. But that's it for your very sort of nothing Tuesday. Jose is having a bitch. The US Open's on somewhere. And New Zealand are making a mockery of the rugby championship. There you go. There's your big talking points.
All right. Thank you. Very good, Ben.
On a nothing Tuesday.
Oh.
Ben hates Tuesdays. It's always the quietest day in sport, and he manages to find stuff that keeps us interested.
Look, I can tell you as well that Sunfall is no longer going to be sponsoring SA Cricket, but then again, they have been there for 7 years.
Okay,
that's not really a story.
They run out of oil.
It's just run out of interest in sponsoring cricket.
Quack, quack.
Hey, did you know that Pantone announced ultraviolet ass as the color of the year for 2018? Not ultraviolet ass, but...
No, just ultraviolet.
It's a hell of a color.
I'm not surprised. It's a cool color.
That's because color specialist and interior designer and decorator Sandra Larkin has been speaking to Lerato Shabalala on the latest episode of Living It Up. You can find out how you could incorporate this color into your home. Do you have a purple room at home?
Niks persny.
Do you have a purple room, Ben?
Not
Sia?
Yet, Gareth, not yet.
No, I'm still stuck.
Do you want
on
one?
Black.
Well, ultraviolet is apparently the color of the year. So...
You need to learn about this then.
Yes. You can do that by downloading the podcast now. That is the show called Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. You can listen to that. It's brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters. Taylor Blinds perfects your views. Dress up your windows from your home to the office with the assurance of 60 years of high-quality products. Look at this ass. Watch this. Watch.
Ooh, that is so smart.
I'm just showing her how the blinds work here in the studio. You can lower them at the touch of a button.
Right.
And then stop them. And then raise them again at the touch of a button. Isn't that cool? Mm.
I do feel like one day I'm going to record a music video here.
And slowly raise the blinds.
Right?
Yes.
Or I feel like I should be in studio and perform and have an audience sitting outside.
That's the great thing. Those blinds will come down. It'll just be you.
Taylor Blinds perfect your views. You can dress up your windows from your home to the office with the assurance of 60 years of high-quality products. Taylor Blinds and Shutters brings home the textures, the colors, the fabrics, the patterns, and the innovative materials that your space has been waiting for. Taylor Blinds and Shutters, the sponsors of Living It Up with Lerato Shabalala. You can find out more on the cliffcentral.com website. Said by Sia.
Yay!
You ready for us?
Yes.
Are you?
Let's.
Right, do it for us. Go on, Sia. Take it away.
This story is a bit of a heartwarming one and also a bit of a... We're redeeming ourselves from the story that you raised yesterday, Ben, about a crowdfunding gone wrong.
Yeah.
I know we have many opinions on that, but I just want to highlight the teacher of a young student in KZN who's really stepping up above and beyond what she has to do at work. Well... She's helping out her 5-year-old pupil, whose name is Buitumelo Ngidi, who was severely burned when she accidentally fell backwards into a bath of boiling hot water. Shucks, this 5-year-old incurred tons of severe burns to her body, and she's been needing tons of medical attention, but it was and is still her teacher who is supporting the family, who's just being there for a 5-year-old, and I think this is absolutely sweet. So this all happened back in June of 2018 when 5-year-old Buitumelo was playing outside with her younger brother, and that's when she accidentally fell into this hot water. She was pulled out of her water by her mother and immediately rushed to hospital, which was around 25 minutes away. She was placed into ICU, and thankfully, though, 2 weeks later, she was recovering well, and she was placed into a pediatric ward. But realizing that Buitumelo has a young mother, her mother's only 29 years old, they are quite far from home, and of course, Buitumelo at this stage in her recovery isn't able to go back to school. Her teacher's the one who's been able to step up and really take care of her students in the best of ways. She's been rallying around the family, just spending time with the family, and has even been chatting to the community around saying, look, if you'd like to help in any way, please let us know. And the community has. They've even banded together and offered some financial contributions to the family. But I really thought it was so cool for this teacher who really doesn't have to do all of this, but has been able to step up and help the family. We don't know the teacher's name just yet, and I think that makes it even more genuine in my books. The mere fact he isn't parading everyone wanting to be known. And it's the little things. So far, five-year-old Boitumelo, though, has made a few visits back to school as her body is still healing. But it's now, you know, her teacher who's still going to help her with occupational therapy sessions, which she attends a couple of times a week for 2 hours. But this is just, I think, just super, super cute. You know, this five-year-old who needs help, who has a young mother, and a teacher's the one who stepped up and made the difference. So I think it's sweet. That's your Said by Sia for today.
Thank you, Sia. All right. It's almost 7 o'clock. When we get to seven, we'll check in on some news. We've got Robin from Lifestyle Home and Garden popping by a little bit later on. She's going to be talking to us about potting plants. Yes, you can put plants in pots. I did this yesterday, actually.
Oh.
Yeah. I looked around and I thought, you know what? Spring is meant to be coming. And I do not want a garden that looks dreary and dull and cuck.
Look at
and
you.
And brown. So I've got some pots at home and I decided to plant some flowers in them. But we'll find out from Robin exactly what the best way is of going about that. I'll see if I've done it right or not. And Deep Fried Man's going to pop in later as well, which is great. Always love to hear from him.
Another news. Why is Theresa May in South Africa?
Because she doesn't want to be at home talking about Brexit. Isn't that it? I'm pretty much sure that's why she's here. But yes, Theresa May is in South Africa. Are you excited? I hope she'll curtsy to someone so we can see her giraffe-like movements.
Oh, dear.
Have you seen those pictures of her curtsy?
Giraffe-like movements?
It's hilarious. Right.
It just looks like a baby Jesus. Giraffe had been born in front of the Queen.
Oh my God.
It's brilliant.
It's great. I didn't realize a curtsy was so awkward, but my God. But
she's literally she just landed now.
She only wears like those 1960s skirts above the knee, doesn't she? It's like she goes to bed in that.
I think so. I've never seen her in anything else. I don't know. Let's not be mean. Maybe she's here to give us some money.
Oh, now you realize to not be mean.
Shouldn't we, you know, be nice in case she's here to do some trade? And
we don't need money. China's already bought the whole country.
You might benefit from something.
Yes, so shut up. Let's all okay. We'll just edit that out of the podcast, all right?
She's just going to go see where they filmed The Crown.
You think that's all she's interested in?
She's in Cape Town.
Okay. All right, well, Theresa May in South Africa. She just arrived this morning. Cliffcentral.com.